Our study this evening takes a look at the first two chapters of the book of Numbers. We've already studied through the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and now we're ready for the fourth book of Moses called Numbers. I like to attach one word to a book if I can. To Genesis, I'd give the word origination. To the book of Exodus, I'd give the word Passover. To the word Leviticus, I'd give the word atonement. And to our book this evening, I'd give the word sojourning. One word that describes the book. Let's go on a journey. Maybe you've sung the song at some point, "I'm Bound for the Promised Land." In this book, Moses said to Hobab, "We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel.'" Chapter 10 and verse 29. We are bound for the promised land, aren't we? Come, go with us. Let's talk about the name of the book for just a moment. The fourth book of Moses called Numbers. Perhaps that's the title in your Bible. The title of the book is based upon the two numberings that's found in this book. The generation of Exodus in chapter 1 and the generation that grew up in the wilderness and conquered Canaan in chapter 26. We know that the census targeted the men 20 years old and above, all who the Bible says was able to go to war in Israel, in chapter 1 and verse 3. This book's been called many things. It's a great book. It's a fascinating book. It helps us understand a lot of things. It's been called the book of journeyings. It's been called the book of murmurings. It's been called the fourth book of Moses. We might think just a moment about the author. The book is designated the fourth book of Moses for a reason. Because it is. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers, and Deuteronomy will be the fifth book. The New Testament attributes the five books of law to Moses, and there are a number of passages that do that. John 5, 45 to 47, chapter 7, verse 19, and other places, as does the Old Testament as well. Like the book of Joshua, chapter 8 and verse 32, and 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 14. We're very familiar with that. God spoke the words. Moses wrote them down. This book says in chapter 33 and verse 2, "Now Moses wrote down the starting point of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting points." Again, that's Numbers 33 and verse 2. And the book ends with this information. In chapter 36 and verse 13, "These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded the children of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plains by the Jordan across from Jericho." And we need to always keep in mind as we study the Word of God that the Bible is given by, what's the word, Doug? It's given by inspiration, isn't it? Given by inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, isn't it? This book is. All the books we've studied are given by the inspiration of God. That means breathed out by God. And so there's something in there that we need to get a hold of, isn't there? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Don't forget that. As we think about the name and the author, let's think for just a moment about the purpose. It's interesting to me that we'll just pick up where we left off. We might think of this as a new study. Not really. We're just continuing to study the same story. Leviticus ended with, "These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai." That was Exodus 27 and verse 34, Leviticus. As Genesis is the book of origins, it's been said that Exodus is the book of redemption. And Leviticus is the book of worship and fellowship. Numbers is the book of service and walk of God's redeemed people. Merle Unger said that in his introduction and study of the book of Numbers. Good point. So what we have is basically that Numbers continues the journey that was commenced in the book of Exodus. And most of the book describes Israel's experiences as they wander. Take note of that word. As they wander in the wilderness. We do well to remember Romans 15 and verse 4, which says, "These things are written for," what? Our learning. What things? These things. Like we're studying now. Who's learning? Our learning. Can you learn something by studying the Old Testament? You sure can. You can learn a lot if you work at it. There's much to be learned. And every time you study through it, you'll learn something else. You really will. And it'll help you in your understanding of the New Testament. Beyond the census, or the numbers, or numberings, the book delves into various themes. It records instances of Israel's rebellion, divine judgment, and God's mercy. I like what someone said. I don't know who said it, but it's good. It's true. The book of Numbers is far more than a list of names and historical wanderings. Its central theme revolves around the holiness and faithfulness of God, mixed with the frailty and rebellion of Israel. As the narrative widens from Sinai to the plains of Moab, the overarching message never wavers. God honors His covenant promises, calls His people to obedience and worship, and remains gracious even when they falter. So true. And you see that as you study through this book. But let's think for just a moment about structure. The structure of the book and summaries of the book, as I call it. First of all, the census or numbering and the camp organization. 1 through 10, the rebellion and wandering. 11 through 19, the transition to a new generation from chapter 20 to 25. Final preparations and instructions are given in chapters 26 to 36. And I find it interesting that the entire book of Leviticus covered only about 1 month. And this book is going to cover about 40 years. Sometimes we don't put that in perspective, but that helps us maybe a little bit. We think about content at Sinai from chapter 1, verse 1 to 9:14. From Sinai to Kadesh in chapter 9, verse 15 to chapter 14, verse 45. The wilderness sojourn is chapter 15, verse 1 to 21, verse 35. And then on the plains of Moab in chapter 22 and verse 1 and through chapter 36 and in verse 13. And so what we have is that the book begins at Sinai and ends on the threshold of the Promised Land some 38 years later. So that's the journey that we're embarking on. To be able to go back and to study that and to appreciate what happened to these folks way back then is a wonderful thing that's been preserved for us. To learn from their mistakes, to learn from the things that they did right. The book begins with the first verse. I think it's interesting to read the first verse and last verse of a book. Sometimes it helps you just really put it in perspective. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of meeting on the first day of the second month in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt. And then the book ends with, "These are the commandments and judgments which the Lord commanded the children of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho." If you'll read that and take a moment and digest that, it really puts it in perspective what's sandwiched in between those two verses. He just told you what's going to be there, basically, in that. We might think for just a moment not only about the purpose of the book, but the purpose of the numbering or the census. Why take a census? Well, a good answer to that is God what? God said take a census. And when God says take a census, what do, Stephen? You take a census. And there's other times when God says don't take a census. And they did, and they got in trouble. Remember that? The purpose of the census, the first one, there's two in this book. Prior to the failure at Kadesh, and that's a big failure, of course, chapters 1 to 4, and the census of the later generation at the plains of Moab was to show that they were not kept out of Canaan by their insufficient numbers. Basically, now get this, are you listening? It was not the size of their army that mattered. The only thing that mattered was the size of their faith. That's what mattered. And we're going to see that. Now, there's a lot of numbers in this book. No telling how many numbers there are in this book. But don't think for a moment that that's all this book is, just a bunch of numbers. It's not the numbers. Not the size of their army. The size of their faith. Same is true for us today. Why is it that the younger generation was able to conquer the Canaanites? Because they were willing to trust God all the way and obey the marching orders in the way their fathers failed to do at Kadesh. Got the text? Open to the text? Numbers chapter 1. Verse 1 to 4. Three words. Take a what? Census. Take a census. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of meeting on the first day of the second month in the second year after they'd come out of Egypt, saying, "Take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male individually, from 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war in Israel. You and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man from every tribe, each one the head of his father's house." Take a census. A census is just a numbering. Count them. How many are there? And as you studied and read through that, you read the count, didn't you? In verses 5 to 17, we have the names of the men that would stand with them. Beginning in verse 5, I'm not going to read all of this. If somebody wants to volunteer to read all those names, raise your hand. I'll be glad to let you do that. No, not really. Take too long. These are the names of the men who shall, now get this in verse 5, stand with you. From Reuben and then all these different tribes. Somebody will stand with you. Verses 5 to 17 cover who those men were that were going to stand with them. It's Moses and with Aaron. Verse 18 and 19. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they recited their ancestry by families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and above, each one individually. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. Notice that. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them. Verses 20 to 45. Reuben through Naphtali are numbered. The first part of 20. Now the children of Reuben, Israel's oldest son, their genealogies by their families, by their father's house, according to the number of males, every male individually from 20 years old and above, all who were able to go to war. You're going to read that over and over and over and over and over and over again, aren't you? In this part of the book. Because he's going to do that with each tribe. And the total number was, don't look down, look up. The total number was how many? Who could forget? If you studied through this and read through it four or five times or six times or whatever, which you ought to really, you couldn't forget it. 400 and how many thousand? What? 600. 600, we got 600 now, how many? 600 and what? 603,550. That's a good number to remember. 603,550. He says it over and over. And so that ought to just be a number that sticks in your head. Who was that? What was that number? Okay. How old were they? And up. Okay, able. Able to go to war. If you wasn't able to go to war, you wouldn't have been counted, would you? Okay. It's interesting, isn't it? Take a look at verse 46 and you'll see just that. All who were numbered were 603,550. Is that what we said? That's it. That is it. Verses 47 to 53. But what about the Levites? That's a number of them too, right? Be okay to number them? They were not numbered. Why were they not numbered? They were told not to number them. Just that simple. It's not complicated, is it? Not rocket science. God says to do something, you do it. God says you don't do something, you don't do it. He said, number them, don't number them. How do we know that? For the Lord had spoken to Moses, saying, only the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor take a census of them among the children of Israel. Verse 49. But you shall appoint the Levites. What were they to do? Take care of what? Take care of the tabernacle, the testimony, take care of the furnishings, over all the things that belong to it. They shall carry the tabernacle and the furnishings. They shall attend to it, and they'll even camp around it, he said. And when the tabernacle moves forward, who's going to take it down? The Levites will take it down, verse 51. And when it's set up, who's going to set it up? The Levites shall set it up, verse 51. And if any outsider comes near, what happens to the outsider? Put to death. That's how serious it was. The children of Israel shall pitch their tents, everyone by his own camp, everyone by his own standard, according to their armies. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. Verse 53. And verse 54 ends with, thus the children of Israel did. Did what? According to all the Lord commanded Moses. And he adds three more words. So they did. Isn't that good? So they did. Could that be said of us? They did. God said, and we did. God said, don't, and we didn't. Right? Seems very simplistic, don't it? But isn't that what we're supposed to get a hold of here? It really is, isn't it? As long as you do what God says. I remember Brother Bill Cavender saying this a lot when he was alive. And it's meant more and more to me the older I get and the more I study. He was a good student of the Bible. He said, when you do what God says, He'll bless you. And when you don't, He'll curse you. He said that over and over. And that rings so true. That's what it's about. Doing what God said. Well, what about chapter 2 as we look at the verses? And the Lord spoke to Moses. Chapter 2, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, every one of the children of Israel shall camp by his own standard beside the emblems of his father's house, and they shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting on the east side. See that? What about the east side? Well, it tells who's going to be there. You skip on down to verse 10. It says, on the south side, who's going to be there? Skip on down to verse 18. It says, on the west side. Who's going to be there? Skip on down to verse 25. It says, and on the north side. Who's going to be there? Everyone shall camp by his own standard. The New American Standard Bible renders that flag. If it was a flag, I don't know, but it was some way of designating their camp. This is our camp right here. This is where we camp. Because you're talking about a lot of folks. This is where we camp. Why do we camp here? And why don't we camp over there? God said camp here. On this side of the tabernacle. And when God says you camp here on this side of the tabernacle, that's what you do. So specific instructions are given as to how they were to set up their camp in relationship to the tent of meeting, the place where God met with His people. The people of each tribe were to camp together, surrounding the tabernacle on every side. East side, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, 186,400. That's a big campment. That's a lot bigger than Barton Springs. South side, Reuben, Simeon, and Gad, 151,450. The Levite camp surrounded the tabernacle. The west side, Ephraim, Gad, and Benjamin, 108,100. The north side, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali, 157,600. For a total of, again, 603,550. Don't forget that. You see that diagram on the back? There you go. Looks something like that. Not that color, but looks something like that. There it is. That's the encampment. Good picture. What do you see when you see that? What does that tell you? This is the tent of meeting. We've talked about all this. We've talked about the holy place. We've talked about the holy of holies. We've talked about the veil, the bronze altar, the laver. All of this we've talked about. All that goes on in here. But as you look around here and you see this encampment, what do you see in that? What's the point? Order. Organization. That's one thing you see. Pattern. Right? Pattern. There's a pattern. What else? Yeah, the center. What's at the center? God. Worship. That's at the center. What's at the center of your life, by the way? Should we get a point from this? We better. We better, hadn't we? All right, it's time to do a little highlighting. You like to highlight in your Bible? I do. If not, don't worry about it. But that's okay. You don't have to. But if you like to, I always have a section of highlight. Here's the things I highlight, amongst others. Chapter 1 and verse 1. First day of the second month in the second year after they'd come out of the land of Egypt. Sets the time. That's a good thing to highlight. In verses 2 and 3, we're not highlighting necessarily the whole verse, but maybe certain words or certain phrases is what we're doing. Okay, from chapter 2 and verse 3. Take a census. Take a census. From 20 years old and above. You might circle that in verse 3. 20 years old and above. You'll have that. Verse 5. Names of the men who shall stand with you. Because the next section is going to give all those names. Now, if you wanted to go through and highlight the particular name, you could. I didn't. But you could do that. Verse 19. I highlighted, as the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them. What a profound statement. Verse 46. All who were numbered were 600. What was that number again? Well, we're getting it, aren't we? 603,550. Oh. Might highlight that. Verse 47. The Levites were not numbered. You might highlight that. Verse 54. I like the entire verse for highlight. Thus the children of Israel did, according to all the Lord commanded Moses. So they did. So they did. Wow. Not going to always be the case, but it is now. And what a wonderful thing. Go to chapter 2, highlight. If you highlight. Camp some distance from the tabernacle of the meeting. Some distance from the tabernacle of meeting. Because that's going to then link us to verse 3, east side. Verse 10, south side. verse 18, west side, and verse 25, north side. Okay? Good to highlight. It'd help you find it quicker as you look back through. Verse 17. I like the phrase, so they shall move out, this phrase, everyone in his place. I'll have more to say about that in a minute. Everyone in his place. I think there's a point to be made. And then verse 32, all who were numbered according to their armies of the forces were, what's the number? 603-550. All who were numbered, highlight all of that. 603,550. And verse 33, the last words, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Just as the Lord commanded Moses. Wow. And verse 34, I highlighted, thus the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. Wonderful things to highlight. Well, there's a lot of practical lessons in this book, and there'll be plenty to come in our studies as we go through the book. I jotted down just a few. You probably think of others. We've talked about some of these already. When a practical lesson is, when God says, take a census, you take a census. That's a practical lesson. That's from chapter 1, verse 2. We all need those who will stand with us, don't we? You know, sometimes you take a stand, maybe doctrinally, on something. And people, they'll kind of rally around you and they'll say, yeah, I'll stand with you on that. That's the truth. That's the word of God. I'll stand right there with you. And when you get to standing and the pressure gets put on, you look back and guess what? They're not there. You're standing alone. That's too bad when that happens. Shouldn't be that way. Seen that happen a lot over the years. You need somebody to stand with you. And when you tell somebody, I will stand with you on this, you do that. And I need to do that. Have somebody stand with you. They had those who were going to stand with them. We'd say more about that, but we won't. 1:5 is the verse, by the way. And then 1:19, the practical lesson, we must do as the Lord commands. Just as He commands. And from 1, verses 47 to 49, when God says to not do a thing, we don't do it. Isn't that a good lesson? You know, because he said, don't what? Don't, what did he say here? Don't do. Don't number the Levites. Why not? We're numbering everybody else. It'd be good to know how many we got. Right? You can see somebody thinking that way? That's the way a lot of people would think, wouldn't they? Well, God surely wouldn't care. I mean, He's had His number all these other people, and we've got the exact numbers of all these people. It don't work that way. Specific authority. You number them, you don't number them. We need to get a hold of that, don't we? Brethren need to get a hold of that if we haven't. Next, God's people must do according to all, that's the word I'm emphasizing, all the Lord has commanded. You can take that out of chapter 1, verse 54, and chapter 2, verse 34. All. Sometimes we want to do what? Charles, what we want to do sometimes? Said all of it. Just part of it. I like this part, but I don't like that part. Well, so what people do, most people, they just kind of pick and choose, don't they? They just pick and choose. Can't do that either. What valuable lessons are we learning that'll help us today? These things are written for our learning, aren't they? And we need to find our place. And when we find our place, I remember my dad saying many times over the years, then stay in it. Find your place and then stay in it. Good point. Chapter 2, verse 17. They found their place and they stayed in it. The book of Numbers will lie open before us, so to speak, over the next few weeks on it. What a volume. What a book. And we'll learn many things. I want to excite you about this study. We'll learn of the outworking of the covenant between God and Israel. That's what it focuses on, this covenant. They said, "We will do what you say, God." And God said, I will be with you. I will be in your midst. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will bless you. In ways they couldn't even imagine, God could bless them. And He can do the same for us. The covenant. That was an agreement. They said, yes, we will. We will. We'll do that. We will do what you say. We're going to read about that outworking. Did they always? Well, we're going to get over here to Kadesh in a little bit. Kadesh Barnea. And it's going to be tough, isn't it? And some things are going to change. And God's going to change not what He said, but His attitude toward them, if you would, because they have violated His will. They have gone against the covenant, which they said, we will keep. We will keep that. And it's not going to be good. It is not going to be good. We're going to learn about God's faithfulness. God is always faithful. Don't ever forget that. He's always faithful. I may not be, but God is. He's always faithful. I'm going to learn about the anger of God. You mean God gets angry? He does. And when He does, watch out. Going to be some watch outs in this book. Watch out, because God's going to get angry. We're going to read about the holiness of God. We're going to read so many things, wonderful things. And so, as the song says, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Will you? Will you? Will you? Isn't that what we're saying to folks? Just exactly what Moses said to Hobab. Come thou and go with us, and we will do thee good. That's the King James rendering. I like that a little bit better. We will do thee good. I'm bound for the Canaan land. We've got our marching orders, don't we? Good to be with you in our study tonight. Done a little bit early. Is that okay with you?